There's a verse up here, and it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. When we pray, remember that. We get to pray to God. Like, that is immensely powerful when you think of that. God says, come to me and I'll hear you. I'm listening. God, the creator of all things, the one who gives us breath and sustains our life, that God. So go ahead, Audrey. How do we get here? Naima, will you come read for us, please?
Hello, today I'll be reading Genesis 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. You are to take with you 7 pairs, a male and its female, of all the clean animals, 2 of the animals that are not clean, male and its female, and 7 pairs, male and female, of the birds of the sky, in order to keep offspring alive in the face of the whole earth. 7 days from now, I will make it rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe off the face of the earth every living thing I have made. And Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him.
Thank you. So I know what you're thinking. I thought this was Palm Sunday. Why is she reading stuff out of Genesis and Noah? Well, let me finish. All right. So go ahead, Audrey. So when we think of Noah a lot of times, right, we think of the story of Noah. Okay. You guys heard the song. The Lord told Noah, you're going to build an archy-archy, right? It's a fun little ditty, right? Go ahead. So, and that's how we think, right? That's how we think of Noah, right? You got the animal, you got the ark, and they're all happy. They're like, woo, it's raining outside, right? That's how we think of Noah, right? But if that's how you think of the Noah story, then you missed a boat. Okay. That was it for all the dads out there. All right. The Noah story is the deadliest event in human history. This is the Noah story. It was carnage. It says in verse 4, right? God says, I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I made. I'm going to read that one more time. I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I ever made. Yes. And there's nothing wrong with the children's story. There's nothing wrong with the archy-archy. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, there's a meaning to this, and it's not to make a happy little song. This is a deadly event. Everybody on the earth, all the animals, all the birds, all the little mosquitoes, not kind of mad about that one, but all of them died. And not just like, oh, it was like an insta-death, right? Like, oh, I touched the ark, dead. No, they drowned. They talk about one of the worst ways to die, and they talk about it's drowning. Now imagine you're in the ark, and you're Noah, and you're hearing everybody outside drowning. And then all of a sudden, you hear the yelling, the weeping, and then you hear nothing. We tend a lot of times to focus on the result, right? The rainbow, and he got out, and it was nice, and they saved Noah, God saved Noah. That's what we focus on. Like, but the event itself meant something too. There's a reason God put this in his book. There's a reason he said, you have to know this story. It's gonna matter. Now, when Moses wrote this down, right? When he wrote this story down, when this event happened, Noah didn't understand. Moses didn't understand. The Israelites probably didn't fully understand what this was. was an ugly thing. It was not a pretty little happy pandas and lions and little bunny rabbits, right? Yes, they were there, but it was ugly. And it's uncomfortable to talk about that. Just like the cross. It's an uncomfortable situation. A movie came out, Passion of the Christ. Anybody get to see that movie, The Passion of the Christ? That movie was, how do I say, it was impactful, right? If you've never seen that movie and you've heard of the resurrection or you heard of the crucifixion and you read the story in John, you've heard it, right? That story, you're like, oh yeah, and then they nailed him and they beat him and they go, oh, okay. It's different when you see it. It's different. Like, whoa, wait, hold up. His flesh is, oh, and you wince. And you're like, oh, ah. When he stretches his arm out and it's not reaching and they just yank it out of its socket. Oh, oh, oof. That's hard, right? That's uncomfortable. But God's wrath is uncomfortable. But you cannot understand your redemption if you do not understand his wrath. The same God that flooded the whole world and killed all living creatures, same God saved you and redeemed you. Same one that did that healed the leper. The same one that did that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same God that killed all those people raised others from the dead. Same God. And you can't understand that redemption. You can't understand Jesus and this upcoming Holy Week and Easter until you recognize his wrath. And people ask this question, I'm sure you'll hear it. God did all that? How could a loving God do something like this? How? That's the wrong question. Let's ask it again. How can a righteous God not punish sin? Ask yourself that question. Go ahead, Audrey. So they were doing what was right, what they thought was right in their own eyes, right? So I have three children and I teach at a high school, right? And they all do the, I can do it. I know how this works. I got this. Now, anybody that's raised kids, right, will know that, like, I can get myself dressed. I can do it. And all of a sudden, their shirt's on backwards. They got on one sock. Their shoes don't match, right? And it's like, the quinceañera dress doesn't go with the rain boots. Like, that's not how it works, right? I can pour my own milk in my cereal. I got it, Dad. I can do it. I know how. Can you help me? I cleaned up. I made a mess. Turns out you don't need a gallon of milk. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I know how to sweep. I can do it. And it's worse than when it started, right? Tell my kids, like, hey, we're going to do this assignment. Here's the directions. And I lay them out, right? So I'm very particular in my assignments that I give as a teacher. Very particular. And I'll give them the assignments. I'll lay it all out. Give them the directions. I say it out loud. I write it down. I go over it, and I give it to them, I have them explain it to each other. See, y'all already know. And I get it back, I'm like, what is this? Oh, I didn't know. I thought I was doing it right. Go ahead, Audrey. So, it's like, hey, everyone did what's right in their own eyes. That's not good, right? So we do this all the time. We think, I talk about the kids messing up, but because adults would never, ever do what's right in their own eyes, right? I'm sure that would never happen, except for we make it worse. We don't spill milk. We create whole religions. Go ahead, Audrey. This is the percentage of people in the world that follow these certain religions. First one, Christianity. 31% of the world claims to be Christians. 31%. That's one third. I don't know if y'all know this, but God wrote a book. Okay? He wrote a book. And it's not just in English. It's in all kinds of languages. He wrote a book, right? It's like the basic instructions before leaving Earth. And only one third of the people got it. Or claim to have got it, right? Atheism, that's not a religion. That's just a lack of belief. So you believe there's no God? Well, you're not letting me play with the words, okay? I just want to do it my own way. That's how it's right in my own eyes. 21%, one out of every five people in the world claim to be an atheist. That God does not exist. There is no God. I am God. I get to determine what is what and what is not. That's me. That book, it's just some book. You can't even trust it. Who knows? What about Buddhism? Let's look at Buddhism. 6% of the world claim to be Buddhist, right? Islamist, right? 1/4 of the population believes that Islam is the correct way to worship a god. And then Hinduism, 15%. Now, you know what's crazy about all these religions? They all talk about a singular person for some reason. His name starts with a J, ends with a Jesus. All of them talk about it. You know who doesn't talk about Muhammad? The Bible. Doesn't mention him. You know who doesn't talk about Buddha? But the Bible. You know who talks about Jesus? All of them. Now, just a little off, right? Just a little off. But what you see is that with all these religions, they glorify man and they demote God, right? They take Jesus, atheism, he's just another dude. He's just a guy. He's Jesus. Like, yeah, he was nicer than other people. He was good at making like magic tricks. Like, he'd be like, ooh, look, it's a thumb, right? Buddhism, oh, Jesus, oh, he was just like another Buddha. He was like an enlightened man. That's all he was. Islam, oh, he's just another messenger. That's all he was. He was nobody special. He wasn't God incarnate or anything like that. That's crazy. He was just another prophet. Hinduism, oh, he just maybe part of the other gods kind of thing. He's just in there. But they're a little off. Sometimes more than others. But we also have other, what we call Christian religions, that are just a little off. Not all the way, but just a little off. Mormonism takes the same Jesus, and they say, oh, see, that's Jesus. That is Jesus, and he's God, right? He's Son of God, but he's just one of many sons of God, and, you know, he was a created being, and you can be a God one day. Like, it's not that far off. Just a little. The Jehovah's Witnesses, oh, Jesus? Oh, yeah, he is important. He was Michael the Archangel. That's a little off. But, you know, we're Christians. We're Christians. Prosperity Gospels, oh, Jesus, oh, he's great. That Jesus, oh, he's the Son of God. Yep, Son of God, all day, every day. Oh, yeah, not created, Trinity, all good. He's just going to give you whatever you want, what your heart desires. You know, you like stuff, so that's what God wants to give you. Stuff. It's just a little off. Satan is a master theologian. He's talked with God. He believes in God's existence and knows more about God's attributes and abilities than most. And yet he still doesn't love God. Knowledge about God does not equal faith in God. You can know him. You can know, you can read all, you can memorize his book front to back. Even all the other stuff in there. Like, oh, well, I know who this, I know the Bible, I memorized it all, and I didn't even know who published it. That's great. That's great. Do you love God? Do you know the real one? Do you worship him? Go ahead, Audrey. Do you worship him? Right? Hell is full of sincere religious people, never born again. And heaven is full of immoral people who repented and believed in Christ. Where are you going? Seems that everyone wants God. Everybody wants God. They want to, they're like, oh yeah, okay. That's why we have all these false religions, right? They all want God until you realize how much it costs. When they realize the price, wait a minute. Hold on. Change my mind. This Palm Sunday, Jesus is riding in on a donkey that's never been ridden before, and there's all kinds of, if you understand the Jewish culture and what was happening, why he chose a donkey, and like all this, it matters, right? Why wasn't he riding a horse? That would mean it's wonderful. The Bible is a great thing, right? So he's riding in, right? And the people are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? They're putting down palm branches. They love this dude, right? Because he's just fed a bunch of people. He's healing a bunch of people, right? He's giving sight to the blind, healing lepers. Like, he's doing all of these things. They're like, woo, yeah, we love that dude. And he's like, yes, pick up your cross and follow me. They go, huh? Wait, I know the cross thing because the Romans be killing people on them crosses. And I ain't picking that up. You know, as a matter of fact, I know we said, Hosanna, and we love you, and all that. But you know what? How about we do this instead? Crucify him. Same people. 1 week later. We love you, Jesus. You want me to do what? It's going to cost me what? Never mind. There's this narrow gate that Jesus talks about. I'm going to read you the verse here in a second. Before we get to the verse, you guys heard of Oprah? She's pretty famous. Most people know her. Oprah said this, and she was having a discussion with someone on her show when she had like a weektime, a daily show right out of Chicago. And they were talking about Jesus, and the guy said, Jesus is the only way. And she says, no, there's many paths to Jesus. Maybe, what you call Jesus, this might call the light. And she's like, all kinds of different ways to go up. And I hope that was a blast for her to say that, because it sure was blast for me. That's 7 for you dads. All right. So, many paths. That's funny, because pretty sure that's not what Jesus said. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, right? In Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus is talking here, and he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is constricted that leads to life. And there are few who find it. We look at these right here, we're like, how can only 1/3 of people even claim to be Christians? How? The evidence is there. Because we love sin. We love messing up. It's natural. It feels better until it doesn't. Until you realize the price of that wrath. Go ahead, Audrey. So it says, oh, that's my side note. Oh my goodness. So check this out. So it always throws me off. So they talk about like evolution, right? And they talk about like Noah, and they're like, this is crazy. You're telling me one dude put all these animals on a boat, and they were on the boat, and it rained for 40 days, and the water came from the deep, and fermented, like it just rained, and everybody died, and then he got off, and all the animals were happy, and nobody, like they got anteaters, and they got ants, and they, you want me to believe this, and then all life came from these ants? You really want me to believe that? That is crazy. That is insane. So here's what I believe. I believe that there was like this soup, and there was like this ooze, and then lightning struck, and then all of a sudden that lightning created like this little tiny little bacteria thing. And that's how we got life. And then that life like started like mutating, and it turned out it was a good mutation, and it kept multiplying, and that thing turned into like a fish. And then that fish started doing it, and somehow that fish mutated again and grew lungs, and it didn't die in the water, but somehow it got on the land, and it made itself into a lion, and then turned into this dog over here, and turned into a monkey, and that thing evolved over here, and now we got humans, and now we have morals. It If you believe that, God help you. Go ahead. I can't make them jumps. Okay, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Okay, I can't do that. That just don't make sense to me. But you know, who am I? All right. In that first verse, let's talk about Noah real quick. Let's go back to Noah. In that first verse, God tells Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this generation." Now, I'm going to read that again. You tell me, because how many people was on the boat? There was Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. That's eight, right? Eight people. Check this out. "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this generation." Notice he didn't say, "For you and him and Shem and Japheth and their wife and your wife." Just you. Now, you let scripture interpret scripture, right? It says Noah was righteous. He's like, "You, I have seen to be righteous." Does that mean he was sinless? Was Noah sinless? Did Noah ever sin? Of course he did, right? Because in the Bible it says, like, there is no sinless people, right? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone, including Noah. So, why did he get to get on the boat? What? His reward that he got to get on the boat and he got to bring his family. They didn't deserve, they weren't righteous in the generation. That's not what God said. He said, "You alone." So you get to get on the boat. Now, this isn't necessarily written in the text, but just bear with me for a second. You think Noah was like, "Why me, God?" Right? Why? Because all it says is, he tells him, "Do this stuff, it's going to rain," and it says, Noah did as he was instructed. That's what it says. But Noah's still human, right? I think Noah's sitting there like, "Why me?" As he's sitting on that boat, listen to all these people drown. We get upset when you see like someone misabuse an animal. God killed all these. And you think Noah's sitting on the ark with these other animals and he's just like, "What? Like, wow. Like, why? Why, God? Like, why me? I don't deserve this. My kids don't deserve this. Like, how did I find myself on this boat? I don't know. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't buy the ticket to be here. Why me?" And my question is, sometimes we always see ourselves as Noah, right? We're not Noah in this story. Ask yourself right now. Don't say it out loud. Ask yourself right now. Do you deserve the ark? Or do you deserve the flood? Something to think about. Which one do you deserve? Go ahead. God has provided a way for us to get on the boat. He's provided a way to the gate. Blueprint, a map. And it was him. He said, "I am the way." How do I get there? I'm the way. I'm the way. Come to me. Repent and believe. And the craziest thing is, if you read this book and you listen to what Moses said, he said, "Repent." If you listen to what all the prophets, Isaiah, repent. Jeremiah, repent. Amos, repent. Jonah, reluctantly, repent. They all said, "Repent." John the Baptist, repent. Jesus, repent. The disciples, repent. The message has not changed. Repent. In a second here, our choir is going to come back up and all of our youth is going to come up. And they're going to sing the song Amazing Grace. I don't know if you guys know about the history of Amazing Grace. Okay, so anywhere you see it authentically printed, anywhere you see that authentically printed, it says, words, John Newton. Melody, unknown. John Newton, before he came to Christ, was a slave ship captain. Okay, what he would do is, now, he would drive the boat. Not drive the boat, I guess. Pilot? Captain the boat? He would whip the boat. Okay? That was his job, right? And so, as he's doing this, right? But he would go, he'd pick up his cargo, right? And he'd go, hey, load him up. He would take these people from somewhere they only knew, put them into a boat, packed them real tight. Not all of them would survive. And he'd go and he'd take them to a whole nother land, captives. That was his job. That's what he did. Multiple times. Multiple people. Hey, we got a storm coming. It's getting kind of heavy. Throw some of that cargo over. That's what he did. And they say, when that melody unknown, people say that sounds like a West African sorrow chant. Imagine you are John Newton on your ship, knowing what the cargo you have down there. And all of a sudden you start hearing, that's all you hear. Day after day, night after night. And then Christ finds you. And he never forgets those sounds. He never forgets those faces. He never forgets what he did. How far have you gone? Have you gone so far that God's grace cannot find you? When he wrote the words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He was thinking of all the things, all the ways that he sinned against a holy and righteous God. And he's sitting there like, you saved me, a wretch like me. Noah, who was righteous, was a wretch. God saved that wretch. And he can save a wretch like us. How do we get to places that we don't want to be? Doing things that we don't want to do with people we don't want to do them with. It's because we love sin. And we have a debt to pay because of that sin. And God's wrath is a real thing. He's shown it over and over and over again. But the story doesn't end that way. I got some good news for y'all. God has provided a way out. Just like it says over and over and over from the prophets to this Jesus, to the disciples. Repent and believe. But you have to remember, it's his way, not our way.